be seated. By the way, keys are in the pulpit. Now, full disclosure, I'm married to a woman who knows not only where her stuff is, and quite possibly where my stuff is, and even I'll go out on a limb and say she probably knows where y'all's stuff is, and that the stuff she doesn't know about of mine's means that it is either in a place where she doesn't go, the garage, or it is so tucked away in the basement it's where the crickets are. But perhaps the one thing I have organized that she has no clue about is my tackle box, which is a new addition to our household last year. I used to be the kind of fisherman that carried everything in a plastic bag when I went out on the water. But you know, I've never owned so much fishing tackle that I didn't inherit from Dad, and I've never been able to really fill up a tackle box, but it's a fantastic thing to be able to sit down and organize something that I know Pastor Romy is not going to touch. So now, to clear the air after that children's message, once again, full disclosure, if something in the house is unlocatable, who do I ask? There have been times when I've misplaced things. Just ask Pastor Romy. Now, there's also times I've put something somewhere only to have it moved to another location deemed more appropriate. Right, Pastor Romy? Now, to have a bit of fun this morning, I want to ask y'all a series of questions, and I want y'all to either answer yes or no. Can you do that? Excellent. That's the answer I was looking for. Just a couple days ago, I received a gift from the nephew of Martha Knowles, and I have to admit, I never dreamed of the day I would ever need a multimeter. Y'all know what that is? Yeah, it's something you test electric with it. And yesterday, I found myself sitting there with an adapter, and I needed to know if this adapter was actually working. So I was like, excellent. 3 days ago, I received this gift from the family of Miss Martha Knowles. And, well, I went looking for that gift. Could I find it? Did I ask Pastor Romy where it was? Did she know? Look at y'all are on fire this morning. Now, this is the point where I would normally give Pastor Romy a hard time because she moved something of mine to a location where I normally never would have looked for it. But is that going to be the case here? Was it where I left it? And did she know where I left it? She says, it is either in or beside my hat in the basement. And was she right? Yes. Is Pastor Romy always right?
Yes.
Oh, goodness me, I love it when I'm able to have fun on Sunday mornings. Now, moving, we've moved a lot in the last decade, the last 10 years, we've moved 5 times. Moved from South Carolina to New Jersey, New Jersey to Roscoe, Roscoe to Hobart, Hobart to Carmel, and Carmel to here. I'm done moving for a while, y'all, okay? Now, South Carolina to New Jersey, I moved myself. That was pretty much just get it in the truck so I can get to New Jersey. Did I lose stuff? Potentially. Do I know what I lost? Nope. Now, New Jersey to Roscoe, that is when I realized almost everything Pastor Romy and I owned could fit in a box the size of a banker's box, except for a few odds and ends. Now, Roscoe to Hobart was a different move. I remember that one distinctly because I loaded up the trailer and would drive over the mountain 3-4 times on a Saturday for 3 or 4 weeks until we were completely moved into Hobart. And then Hobart to Carmel was that's just another fun sermon for another day. But then there was the Carmel to here. That's the only normal move we've ever really had. But there is always this one thing that confounds me and during one of those moves of all the things that have ever been lost. There's only one that I absolutely do not understand, but I'm glad that it is something so important to me to be able to tell y'all about it here this morning. It was when we were moving from Roscoe to Hobart. Like I said, not really a typical move. But what was it about this move that really stood out in my mind is the fact that we used to own this set of Christmas dishes. And all of a sudden, we get to Hobart, and we're unpacking all the Christmas stuff, and where are these dishes? Pastor Romy says, you must have forgotten a box down in the basement. I said, I didn't forget a box. I said, everything is unpacked. I mean, we pulled all of the Christmas out. But we're missing these dishes. Now, these dishes have a significance because we went on December 27th, 2009 to the Walmart in Union, New Jersey. Because it was after Christmas sale, right? And we saw these dishes. Romy's family was visiting. Her mother, her father were here. That was the last time they were here, wasn't it? Well, then Veronica was born in Roscoe, so one time before that. And I remember that day distinctly because we bought those dishes. We came home. I was scraping the stickers off of them. And that's when I got the phone call that my grandmother had just passed away. And December 27th was the week before I had to preach my first sermon in Roscoe. Always loved that story because it stands out in my mind. Would I ever rejoice if I found those dishes? Oh yeah, I'd throw a party. Just like in the scriptures this morning. What person in their right mind, though, and I have to give Jesus credit for this, is going to jeopardize the safety of the 99 sheep for the one, right? If your livelihood relied on the well-being of a herd of sheep or any other livestock for that fact, it would be hugely unrealistic to not only put your own but your family's well-being in a precarious situation as this shepherd has done. Writing off one sheep, a 1% loss, there's a term for that the military uses. It's an acceptable loss, isn't it? Besides, if one is foolish enough to walk away from the safety of the good shepherd, then that's their own fault, isn't it? But Jesus just has to keep going on. With the story with the woman who lost a coin, who lit a lamp to find the thing. Why not wait until daylight? Why waste the money on the oil when in just a few short hours everything is going to be bright outside and be able to find it? Because it's not really lost, is it? It's somewhere within her house, right? It's located within the safety of her own home. But they both go off and do the exact thing we don't expect them to do. And then to just ratchet it up one more notch, they both threw a party, didn't they? Boggles the mind, doesn't it, at the rationality of God. However, looking in both of these teachings that Jesus has given us with the sheep and with the coin, the shepherd and the woman, they indeed are the responsible parties here. They are responsible for both the loss and also the recovery of these items, of the sheep and of the coin. Now, one of the great points that Jesus never makes in this parable, in these stories, is that neither the sheep nor the coin repent, and neither is it expected of them that they would indeed repent. And then when they find each object, the shepherd, the woman, they call their neighbors and friends to rejoice with them, and in their joy, in their celebration, we can only wonder if they spent more money than what the item that was lost was worth. Indeed, another point to reflect upon dearly here. What object could be worth so much that you would spend so much money to rejoice over its recovery? Something that was lost but now is found. But what if the recovery of that thing, of that sheep and of that coin, what if its recovery was deemed so unlikely, if not impossible? What if it were so unlikely to be found or recovered? Wouldn't that merit some sort of celebration? Wouldn't it merit some sort of celebration if one sinner were brought back to the love that God has shown us? Because this scripture should give rise to all sorts of questions within us. Because we look at the woman, we look at the shepherd. If God has lost one of God's own, are we saying that God can actually lose one of us? Okay, Jesus, you've given us something to think about, huh? But in looking at losing that random coin or that wayward sheep, to lose a person, to lose a center, to lose a sinner, that would be like God losing part of God's self. For we've all been created in the image of God. And if we ourselves are part of God's creation, God will rejoice when each of us are brought back. God will rejoice even upon those sinful tax collectors. Those women who have to go to the well in the middle of the day, God's going to rejoice. God is going to rejoice over each and every single person. You know, people like us. Through those whom Jesus associated with the sinners, we as part of the 99, we are then called and we are invited to the table to dine with them just as Jesus did. We are to rejoice when those whom we considered lost have been found, especially when it may be one of us. For the recovery of one of God's creation is indeed cause for great joy among each of us. For at one point in our lives, we've all been lost and we have all been found. Amen. Thanks be to God.